Hail Glory. Are you ready? We're going to get your Bibles ready, and we're going to be coming out of Matthew 21. Mama's already reading there. But we're going to look at Matthew 21. Glory to God. Praise Him. Y'all are so quiet today. You sleepy or something? Wake up. Hallelujah. We're in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. In His presence is fullness of joy. Glory. Oh, Lord. I'm about ready to change my message, so. This has been a thing going on the last few weeks, but that's all right. So I'm just listening. Matthew 21, stay there. Just give me a minute. We'll see. If we have to go somewhere else, we will. Hallelujah. Matthew 21. Well, Lord, it's just the wind. Yeah. Acts 2 says, what? And suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Uh-huh. Glory. Matthew 21. Mm-hmm. Church needs a little bit more of Acts 2. Yes. I won't do it. I almost would go there, but it's Palm Sunday. And all the religious people will freak out. So in Matthew 21, look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, hallelujah, you shall say, the Lord has need of him. And immediately he will send them. Yes. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sit on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Foul, excuse me. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the ground. Hallelujah. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Verse 9. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Mm-hmm. We'll stop there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to go into this as best as we can today. Hallelujah. Look at that last verse 10 it is, if you're still turned there. And when they had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city was moved, saying, who is this? All the city was moved. Mm-hmm. We'll focus there. Yes. They were all moved. We're going to go into this today. I'll start there. When we see that all the city was moved, some of you might remember, if you've been with us a while and you heard me do any teaching, that when it says all the city was moved, the word moved literally means to shake to and from. Meaning from one end to the other, it was shaken. Look why it was shaken. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Or let's say all the city was shaken to and fro, saying, who is this? See, when Jesus enters, everything is shaken. What does the Bible say? Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And so when he enters the city, everything is shaken. See, when he will enter into a circumstance, when we allow him to enter into our church, he will shake everything. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, right? That's which remains is of him. So as he just enters the city, didn't have to do anything. There was nothing else being performed, nothing. Jesus had already done so much of his ministry and performed miracles and demonstrated power and things all over the place that this was just him riding in. And just by him riding in, the city begins to be shaken. To and fro, all over the place. Hallelujah. Sometimes we wonder, and I hear a lot of even Christians wonder, what is going on in our nation? We think people are losing their mind. No, everything's just being shaken. Right? You know that you're entering a God moment when the earth begins to shake in ways that it's not normal, meaning people begin to not act normal. Things in the earth don't happen as normal, and things become bizarre. It's a heavenly realm trying to enter the earthly. Right? And so it can't handle it. And so just like on the day that Jesus begins to enter the city, everything was shaken to and fro. That's what is happening in our earth today. There are heavenly things that are beginning to take place, and the earth isn't accustomed to what's happening in the heavenly realm. And so they begin to shake. People aren't accustomed to seeing the glory and experiencing the glory of God all around. We think we see craziness on the news or on social media, or our neighbors have lost our mind, or things in our city are crazy. But really, I just am believing, based on what I know of the Word of God, that it is because of the power and the glory of God that is manifesting itself, that people are starting to lose their mind. They don't know how to act under it. They don't know how to, they haven't fully surrendered to it either. And so they're being shaken to and fro. Are you hearing me? And so the reason that some of our family members are acting out more now than ever, have you noticed anybody agitated recently? Or just you're wondering what is wrong with them? I just believe it's prayer being answered and the Holy Spirit working on people. I saw it yesterday. I experienced it yesterday, and I just chuckled to myself. I think God's going to get you. He's going to get you. He's after you. He's chasing you down. Amen. He is coming after you. Hallelujah. And so everything that can be shaken like it was in the city is being shaken to and fro. You and I need to believe that and hold on to that. When you see people that are on that wall acting crazy or having an outburst of anger or just having a fleshly moment, it don't matter that they stepped out and was stupid for a moment or whatever it is, just chuckle to yourself and saying they're just being shaken to and fro. Amen. Because Jesus is entering. The power and the glory of God is entering. He is here. I don't believe that our prayers are going in vain. I don't believe that the things that we are praying over and believing God for is just to make us feel better. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is not just so we look religious or so that the community can feel better about themselves that we're here. But prayer is much more. It's for results. The only reason we pray, don't waste my time asking for prayer if you're not going to expect a result. Yes, amen. Preach it. Preacher, don't waste my time. There's too many people to pray for and too many lives at stake for you not to believe God for results. Sit down, shut up. Don't waste God's time either if you're not going to believe him for it. Yeah. I've seen too many people. Somebody asked me last Sunday, a pastor said, what do you do whenever you feel like someone's not really getting a breakthrough? I said, I don't waste time at the altar. I move on. I'm not praying them through. I'm not going to believe them through. If they don't want it for themselves, they'll never keep it. That's the truth. I've seen God raise people out of wheelchairs. They didn't want it bad enough, and they're back in one. Because they didn't want it for themselves. They wanted everybody else to believe for it. Hello. And so you got to believe God when you go to prayer. when you're gonna ask of things of him. So as we're praying for people on our wall, as we're praying for family members and needs here and in our own church, you need to believe and expect results. And as you do, then you're gonna see a shaking to and fro. As Jesus entered the city, look what it said. And when he had come in Jerusalem, the city was moved, shaken to and fro. People saying, what is going on? Who is this? Right? What is happening over there? Right? Don't you want everything to be shaken and people look at you, what is going on with them? They'll call you a fanatic or whatever. They'll think we're crazy. They've got all kinds of names for us. But don't you want them to just say, what is going on with them? What is going on with that church? Hallelujah. It's being shaken to and fro. And so here's Jesus riding in Jerusalem. It's about 19 miles. Hallelujah. He's riding in, making his way in. We know the story all too well. But back in the beginning of the text, I want you to focus on what Jesus had accomplished. The Bible says that he sent two of his disciples into the next city. He sent two of them into the next city where they would see, the Bible says, a donkey and his colt. And Jesus gives instructions. He said, I want you to go into that city. I want you to find that donkey and that colt. And what's he telling them to do? Go untie it and bring it to me. Go untie a donkey that is not yours and is not mine and bring it to me. Is Jesus stealing? Uh-huh. Watch what happens. I just love it. Don't you just love the word of God? This is not permission for you to go out and take something that's not yours. Hallelujah. And Jesus tells the disciples, look what he said. He said, if anyone tries to stop you, what do we read there? He says, tell them the master has need of them. Uh-huh. So the Bible says, while they were walking away with the donkey, that the owner of the donkey sees them and says, what are you doing with my donkey? That is mine. What are you doing with it? The Bible goes on to say, hey, that they return to Jesus. And then he gets up on the colt. We'll come back to that in a moment. He gets up on the colt of the donkey and begins his journey. Hallelujah. You know the story if you've been in church at all for any period of time. The Bible says they begin to grab their coats and even their palms. Amen. They grabbing things off the trees and everything laying on the ground for him to make his journey over the street. Amen. They place them all down the street as he begins to pass by, and the people begin to cry out, as we read, what? Hosanna. Hosanna, which means save now. I touched on it a little bit ago in worship, which means save now. They weren't giving the praise of hallelujah, right? They weren't saying that. They were saying Hosanna, the first time recorded in Scripture, prophesying to what is to come. They were speaking about something they didn't even really understand yet. That's true. They didn't fully understand what was taking place. They were giving a brand new praise, though, prophesying and speaking to something that is about to come, right? Hosanna meaning salvation now, as I said earlier, deliverance now. Deliver me now, complete deliverance now. See, that's why it's important. They were prophesying to their future, and they didn't even realize it yet. Not understanding the fullness of the journey, not even fully grasping, despite things that Jesus has already said and done, not fully grasping what's going to come at the end of this journey, not getting it, but they're prophesying over their life. Even these palms themselves represent, I've done teaching that they represent victory and success. They're speaking over their life and their future and by laying them down that Jesus is about to have victory and he's about to have success. And because he's having victory and success, you and I too will have victory and success. That's what they mean when you wave him and when you take him home today. It's speaking to your future, victory and success. Amen. So when the devil rears his head this week or something goes wrong, just wave your palm. Victory and success, it's mine. It's mine. I was singing the other day the old song, Victory is Mine. Victory is Mine. Michelle, you probably remember back from the day. We used to sing it all the time. You need to begin to sing and prophesy that over yourself, that victory is mine. It's mine. That's what today is all about. That's what these branches meant when they began to lay them down for him to make his entry and walk across. That it was victory's now, save now, hallelujah. This prophetic praise. It's saying, when they say Hosanna, it's saying whatever's closed, open up now. Whatever's open, close now, right? It's a prophetic praise. It's speaking to every hindrance in our life. Every hindrance in our life. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Save now, meaning every demon, every devil in hell that's all coming after you and I has to loose itself right now. Every sickness that's coming against us has to leave in the name of Jesus when you and I say Hosanna. When you and I begin to worship Hosanna, think about that. That it's that kind of praise that you're speaking over it. You're speaking over your life. It's saying deliver now, heal now. It's speaking miracles now in the name of Jesus. That's what it is. I'm grateful and I'm thankful today that you and I can give not just a praise for what he's done, but we're able to give a praise for what is coming, for what's on its way, that we can speak to those things that are not and call them as they were, even hallelujah. Thank the Lord for Hosanna, a prophetic praise. See, this wasn't just this was not just a happy parade, although what we read, it does appear to be joyful and they're somewhat excited. It wasn't just a happy parade. What I really see happening in Matthew 21 is I see Matthew 21 as a declaration of war. Jesus is really, I mean, yeah, it's a joyous time and they're all excited because they're not the one going to the cross, of course. And so they may be experiencing joy and whatnot. It may be a parade of celebration in some degree, but really this is a declaration of war. And the reason I say that is because if we have an understanding of Scripture, then we would know that the way that Jesus is making his journey is the exact way that all kings make their journey in Scripture. Up until this point, Jesus has been sort of private about who he is. Talking privately about who he is, letting his disciples and those close to him, when the rooms and homes would be filled and crowded with people, in those closed moments, he would be open about who he was, and he would speak about who he really was. But he had not yet, up to this point, made any kind of public statement about who he really was. And so if we look back in Scripture, I'll show you, I'll prove it to you. 1 Kings chapter 1. And there's just two verses, and it's just one example, and there's a few. But there's this one example all through Scripture that the exact way that Jesus rides in on this donkey is the same way that other kings rode in to take their throne. Hallelujah. Sort of their coronation, so to speak. Yeah. And so Jesus is, this is why I say it's a declaration of war. It's Jesus letting all the religious people who were uptight anyway about what he's doing say, I'm coming for you. I'm here to wreck everything that you thought was church itself. That's what Jesus was doing. It was a declaration of war. Are you still with me? So this is his public sign. It's his public symbol that he's come to establish his kingdom. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 32. And King David said, call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jeliah. So they came before the king. The king also said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon, my son, ride on my mule and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king. There it is. Have my son ride in and have them anoint him king over Israel. And blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. That's just one example. This is what people about to be king are doing. This was Jesus making a declaration of war, saying, I am about to establish my kingdom, right? what I'm doing here on the earth and what I'm about to do is bigger than what you can see. This is what he was trying to let them know. And so up until this point, he did all kinds of miracles and all kinds of ministry and all of these things and was speaking privately. But now he is announcing that he is king by doing something public, and it's his journey in on the donkey. Amen. Thank the Lord. And so up to this point, he has, really what we know by scriptures, you're not made king in obscurity, but you're made king in notoriety. And so this is Jesus. Up to this point, he's been sort of obscure about his ministry and about what he was really there to do. He kept talking to the disciples about a kingdom, right? He kept talking to them about something more. He kept encouraging them that I'll need to leave. And he kept telling them, I'm going to prepare to leave. I'll be leaving you. They weren't getting it. And so now he makes his first public appearance and announcing himself as a king. Think about the boldness of that. He's announcing himself, right? There was nobody on the earth proclaiming him. He's announcing himself. And so that's why I say it's a declaration of war, really. He's announcing he's king and Lord forever, right? Even the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. What today is for you and I, what today is all about for you and I, and the reason we celebrate Palm Sunday is it's supposed to be about you and I reenacting the same sort of protocol, receiving the king in Israel over 2,000 years ago. You and I are supposed, that's how we're to worship today. That's how we're supposed to celebrate today, that we're celebrating reenacting him and how majestic it must have been. I mean, think about how awesome it must have been for the people who gathered. Anytime Jesus went anywhere, he would gather a crowd. He'd gather a crowd without a Facebook post. He'd gather a crowd without an email newsletter. Come on. I mean, we need all of this stuff just to have church nowadays. To get a crowd for anything, we've got to do advertising. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I helped a guy plan a church just over the last few months and was sending him all kind of stuff, and it took $25,000 just to have their first Sunday service because of the way that our world is. It's not enough anymore just to say we're having church. How many remember back in the day, those of us that grew up old school, remember back in the day they would just call revival and it would just like, boom, the church would be filled. You didn't have to advertise. Your preacher didn't even have to be that good, you know. I could have preached even. I mean, you didn't have to have the best of music. In fact, most of the time back then, the music was sort of, They just sing a couple phrases over and over and over and over and over. And over again, 45 minutes later, an old lady's still singing. But they catch a crowd. Mm-hmm. Jesus was able to get a crowd, and so on his journey in, they crowded the streets, crowded along the streets, paid honor so much that they laid their clothes down the street, recognizing him as king and master. Recognizing him as authority in their life that they didn't even fully understand. I mean, think about this. They were living and growing up in a time where they were with Jesus. They could see him. Some even touched him. And they didn't have the full revelation of all how awesome and who he really was in its fullness like you and I do. But they understood enough to honor him and to respect him and to throw these things down onto the road as he rides in, announcing king and really declaring war. Glory, hallelujah. And so going back to what I said there a few moments ago, Jesus told them, I want you to go get me this donkey, and if anyone tries to stop you, tell them the master has need of him. Oh, I just love the word of God. The master has need of him. I mean, how epic is this? Jesus, just words full of power. This donkey being a preferred mode of transportation in these times, you know, all of us, we have our preferred modes of transportation. Now, some of you are a Ford person, some of you are Chevy, I don't understand why, but some of you are Subaru, some of you are whatever. I know, David, we're just going to pray you out of that anyway, brother, but hallelujah. We have preferred modes of transportation. And in their day, this donkey was their preferred mode of transportation. Jesus sends them to go get it, says, anybody tries to stop you, just tell them the master has need of him. Hallelujah. The master has need of him. I've preached out of this very text before, many Palm Sundays, where you come sort of out of the similar text. But I want you to imagine today we go to leave church, and you go out to find your car, and someone's already in it. They're backing out as you walk out, and you say, what are you doing in my car? And they say, the master has need of it. Cindy, are you going to lose your mind? Are we going to lose our peace? Are we going to step out of Christianity for a moment? Jerk them out of the car? I mean, look at the response. Jesus tells these people, tell anyone that questions what you're doing, including the owner, the master has need of him. Jesus knows that that answer alone is enough. Yet if someone tries to take your car from the parking lot today, that answer is not enough for you. I can promise you it's not. Rick is going to go all kind of crazy on him. Because that's what we do. But Jesus knew, tell them the master has need of him. I find that interesting because here is Jesus making his first public announcement of who he really is, making this declaration of war, and yet the people in the city already seem to know who he is. Isn't that interesting? When people approach him, the answer was the master has need of him, and they say, oh, okay. They understood who he was without question. They understood who he was enough to say, yep, that's good. You can take it. I understand. No problem. So the disciples, they untied that man's donkey, took off with it, right? The owner approaches and they said, the master has need of him. Oh, okay. Have a good journey. Because he understood who the master was already. That's really important there. Don't miss that. It's really powerful. He wasn't confused at all who the master was. We often get all kinds of confused in our world when we start talking about people's titles and this and that, especially in the church. But these people in the text, they weren't confused at all of who he was. Right? Not at all. They understood who he was. They had heard all about him before he ever arrived. They'd heard about what he had done. Right? They understood it in its fullness, and Jesus knowing this, they just tell them that the master has need of him. Now the Bible says in Matthew 23, if you go over a couple chapters, I think it's around verses 6 through 11, it's interesting that the Word of God says that we should never call anyone on the earth master or father. And yet Jesus tells them the master has need of him. But at chapter 23 says, don't ever call another man on the earth master or father. I could get into all kinds of good stuff there, but because of time, I won't do it. He says, don't ever do that. In other words, it's Jesus in chapter 21, and it's Jesus again in chapter 23 saying, there's only one father. There's only one father. And he is high, right? And he is above all else. Hallelujah. Even the Bible says that our Heavenly Father sits upon the circles of the earth. He runs everything that's down here, right? Mighty, powerful. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And what you need to understand, the reason Jesus said, don't call another man on earth Father in our faith. Watch this. Jesus says, don't call another man, when it comes to our faith, Father, because the word Father, and the reason we use that term, the reason he's our Heavenly Father, is the word Father means potter or source. And so when we call another man Father in the earth, in regards to our faith, you're acknowledging them as your source and your potter, and they definitely are not. Oh, hallelujah.
That's some good stuff.
It's you and I recognizing our Heavenly Father, right? God the Father of the Godhead, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? It is God the Father being recognized, Him as your potter and Him as your source. You need to get that. That's why when we pray and we ask Heavenly Father, you're saying, you are my source. You are my potter, and what I am the clay. It's you acknowledging Him as your source. That's why Jesus said, don't call another man father. Why? Because you're making them higher than the Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord. See, I won't even go there because I'll be getting people on TV writing me letters because we air all kinds of other denominations on TV. But I can give you four other scriptures where the Word of God says don't ever do that. Where there are people serving and worshiping God this morning completely blatantly wrong. And they believe it's true. And the Bible says it's not. Because we reduce God to be like us when we acknowledge anyone else when it comes to our faith. Only He is our source. Amen. And only He is our potter. Yes, Lord. That in itself is good and encouragement for you today. He is my source. He is my potter. So in other words, Jesus was saying, unless you are my source, I'm not going to call you Father. Yes. Hallelujah. Unless you are my source, I will not call you Father. I'm thankful. Lord, I just love it. I love it. I had somebody introduce themselves. I was part of the ministerial, and of course, there was a father so-and-so, I won't say, from ministry locally, and he introduced himself as Father so-and-so and whatever, and he said, but you can call me. I said, I wasn't going to call you Father anyway. And he looked at me. I said, not out of disrespect. I said, but according to the Bible that I understand and I read, unless you are my source or my potter, you are not my Father. Hallelujah. He said, I respectfully disagree. I said, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. The other thing Jesus says in chapter 23 is don't ever call another man master. Uh-huh. Don't ever call another man master. That's why it's wrong that ever in our history that it ever happened. Oh, you say, preacher, don't go there. Oh, I'm going. Because there is proof all through the Word of God, the words of Jesus, don't ever call another man master. Should have never happened. Never. Why? Because as we understand what master is, that really what the right terminology to give you here is when Jesus says, don't ever call another man master, the right terminology to lay it out for you and keep it simple so we can keep on going this morning is if you can't control the storm, then you're not my master. Uh-huh. Boy, that's good. If you can't control the storm, you're not my master. Woo, hallelujah. Boy, how that would have changed history. If you cannot control the storm, you are not my master. Lord Jesus, meaning there you need to understand who is governing over your life, and it is He and He alone, our Heavenly Father. He is our master, right? He is our Father. He has the ability to what? He has the ability to control the storm. He is my source, and He is my potter. That's why I can say He is my master, right? When we sing that song, Majesty, worship His Majesty, right? And in that song, we use the term master. The reason is because He has the ability to change the storm. It doesn't always mean that He will change it, but if He doesn't change it, it just means that the master will bring you through. Why? Because He's the Father. And what does the Father mean? That He is your source and He is your potter. My God, that's good stuff. It just confirms everything else through the Word of God that you and I are never alone. He is always with us. That He is, what did we say over the last few weeks? The good Father. The good Shepherd. Always watching out. I am never alone. I don't care what hell we're facing or what is broken, busted, and disgusted. There are terms like this in Scripture that you and I can find some of the greatest help and hope that we could ever find on the earth. Even just those two things, that he is your master and he is your father, should be enough to help pull you up out of whatever pit you are in, realizing it is not a change in job that you need. That might be helpful, but it is, he is all you need. Come on. It is not a brand new spouse or for them to get saved or delivered. Nope, he is all that you need. What I've learned is that if he is all you need, he will change them. He will deliver them, because he sure as heck delivered me. He can deliver them too. Yeah. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's my father, my potter, and my source. Your job, your stimulus check is not your source. I know some of you are waiting on it with bated breath. Hallelujah. When you get that, you can say, thank you, federal government, but thank you, source. Because God controls all things ultimately. Not red, not blue, not Biden, not Trump, none of them. Right? They're all just doing what God has already ordained and orchestrated anyway. Hallelujah. And if you understand the word of God, then you understand that above all else. While the church is freaking out about everything that looks like it's going wrong in the nation right now, God's just saying, I told you so. It's already in the word. You've heard me say it. It's like Prego. It's in there already. The Bible has already decreed, declared everything that's happening right now. It's already in there. If you're surprised, then you didn't read it well enough. That's why Wednesday nights are going to be so epic for you. I promise you, I'll give you some of the best teaching I can possibly bring to you. And you will understand things. Make it plain. Make it clear. I promise. But I'm telling you, it's already in there. Hallelujah. It's prego. It's in there. Hallelujah. It is in there. God's not freaking out. We don't need to freak out. Stop losing your peace. Hallelujah. Every time I see Christians posting and losing their peace online about something that's happened and something the government did, I'm just thinking, you didn't read your word. You just don't even know. These things are supposed to happen. If they don't happen, then Jesus can't come. Hallelujah. Just let it happen. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Make sure you're right. The rest will be fine. Hallelujah. I better quit. Hallelujah. Notice something. The man didn't ask. Notice that the man didn't have to ask what master they were talking about. When they said the master has need of him, when they came to take his donkeys, he didn't say which master. Because he knew that there was only one master. And he's the source. He's the potter. He's the creator. He's our teacher. Hallelujah. One master. And the only title that really the Bible says you and I need to be concerned about is servant. I know in the church realm, everybody needs titles and that. And every time we ordain another preacher or teacher, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, I have one of the fivefold ministers. It never fails. They always say, what's my office? Servant. I'll tell you what office of fivefold you'll fulfill, but it is servant. That's top priority. That's what God wants you and I to worry about, is being a servant. And so there was no confusion about who the master was, because there was only one master. Hallelujah. And our title that we need to be concerned about is just to serve. Hallelujah. Just to serve. I'm not here to be, I'm not here preaching as the anointed clergy, right? And being someone that you have to come up and kiss my ring or do any kind of foolish nonsense. No. I am called first and utmost to be a servant. That is it. Every preacher in the earth is called to be a servant first. Set your bodyguards aside and your cute little Rolls Royce and all of the staff that you have, and what you are called to be first and foremost is a servant. All of us. It's almost nauseating to see what church has become. I joke about I'm going to start landing in my helicopter, and I am. Not here. I don't say that to be boastful or prideful or anything like, no, not at all. It's a joke. You just sort of had to have been there. But I'm telling you that we've made church into being some kind of like a celebrity thing, where we've made it the ultimate thing to be able to make the platform. And let me tell you, this platform is not all that, and it's not all a bag of chips. It's weighty, and there's a responsibility that comes with it, and eternity hangs in the balance, and there is warfare that comes with it. If you think it's easy, it's not. Most Sundays I go home racked in pain because of the attacks of the enemy and things like that that are going on in the spiritual realm while trying to preach the word. Doesn't even have to be a good word, just the word. Right? And God is the reason they understood who the master was is because they understood that they were called to be a servant. Something we've lost in the church is that we are all called to be a servant. Hallelujah. We're all called to be a servant. Thank you, Lord. And so the Jesus gives them instructions. And he says, when you go find the donkey and the colt, I want you to untie them. If anyone tries to stop you, tell them I have need of them. So the disciples go. The Bible says they untie the donkey. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the word. Now watch. Isn't it interesting? Jesus gives step by step. Don't ever ignore the very intricate steps of the word of God. Jesus tells them, I want you to go find the donkey. I want you to untie the donkey. And I want you to bring it to me. And in the in-between, if anyone tries to stop you, tell him the master has need of him. There's a lot of detail there that we get. Why do we need to know all that? Oh, it's God just proving his word. It's Jesus foretelling what he's about to do on the cross. I just love it. I love the word of God. Look what he says. Now watch. He says, go get a donkey that I don't own. I want you to go take the donkey I don't own, untie it, and bring it to me. So notice that through the instructions, we understand that the owner has paid for the donkey. Right? The owner fed him. The owner kept him. But here, Jesus says, now I have need of him. And Jesus is saying, because I have need of him, all the prior relationships, all the prior deals, all the prior contracts, all the prior money spent are nulled. They're considered null and void because of the call of the master. Now hang on. Are you still with me? Don't get lost. So when God calls you and I, as he's called each of us in some capacity, when he calls you, he takes you and I out of whatever we used to be in. All prior contracts, all prior deals, oh, watch this, all prior relationships. How many of you are still dealing with a relationship you've been out of for a while? Come on, you need to get this word today. Meaning you're dealing with it emotionally, or maybe just once in a while they stick their head up like that whack-a-mole, you know, and you just say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I know what that's all about. Someone sticks their head up from your past, and you say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You need to get this word in you today because you need to hear what I'm saying. Jesus said, I want you to go find something that I do not own, find something that I did not pay for, and I want you to get it. I want you to bring it to me because I have need of it. That is the same thing that Jesus does to you and I when we get saved. Up to the point you get saved, he comes and finds you. Right? Your parents raised you. Your parents fed you. They did everything for you. You made your own money. But when Jesus calls you and you get saved, he says, I'm taking you. Why? Because I have need of you. In other words, he says, all prior relationships are considered null and void. Whoever your previous owner was, the devil is considered null and void. Everything that had an attachment to you, every addiction, you better pay attention. Every bad relationship, everything the devil had you wrapped up in, he says is null and void. Why? Because the master has need of you. If you could get that word down in you, if you could get that word in you when you pray over that wall, you would begin to understand that while you're praying, it's as if they're being untied from whatever it is that's binding them and keeping them bound up in addiction, keeping them bound up in perversion, keeping them bound up in a relationship they were never supposed to be in, right? Why? Because the Lord, the master has need of them. Think about that. My God, It means that whatever it is that even as church people, and don't sit there like you're not tied to anything. There's a lot of so-called church people tied to something. You want to act like you were delivered, but the truth of the matter is you're still being delivered. I've learned that about deliverance. I've made the mistake of buying into some of the garbage that was taught and even taught in Bible college, no less. And now that I teach Bible college, I've learned a thing or two and realized that most people teach deliverance that it's instant. False! I am being delivered day by day. My mind is being renewed. My mind is something, and I'm being delivered day by day, continually. I'm always being delivered. Right? It's not a one-time hit him with the power of God, let him fall to the floor, flop like a fish, and get up and it's all over with. No, because the devil will come back with a temptation again. Deliverance is something that is ongoing. You and I need to understand that about the Word of God. The enemy will come and try to tie you up all over again. Yes, church people, Christians, preachers even. But you need to remind the enemy the master has need of them. When you're praying over these people that need saved, or these people that are bound, that's one of the things you need to start praying over them. The master has need of them. Hallelujah. Because what you are doing is unwinding, untying the knot of generational curses that are on their life. That's what you're doing. Everything changed for that donkey and that colt the moment they untied them. Hallelujah. They would have never been known. They'd have never been mentioned in Scripture because it never would have been important. Ha-ha. But the moment they become untied, they become part of the journey to the crucifixion. Hallelujah. The moment that you and I become untied, we become a part of the journey and the writing of the book of Acts, as I like to say. Oh, hallelujah. Everything that we've been bound to, everything that we've been hindered by, everything that we've been attached to, that we've been trying to break free from, hallelujah, is left go. Remember, it's the master saying, all previous contracts, all previous relationships are considered null and void in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, the master has need of him. The master has need of him. The master has need of you and I, right? We need to be able to just declare that and decree that over every habit, over every addiction, over every demonic force that comes against the church, amen, over everything that's going wrong in your life. The master has need of him. Even pray that over your spouse or your significant other, whomever they are, and they're just a problem all the time. You never can say the right thing. Just pray. Instead of praying what you want, pray, Lord, the master has need of them. Oh, hallelujah. See, if you'll begin to pray that, oftentimes we go to God and pray, Lord, I just thank you that my wife, Susie, will just quit being so nasty, mean, and bitter. And usually we're the nasty, mean, bitter. At least I found that to be true in my life, brother, is that usually I'm the one being nasty, mean, or bitter. I know, it's hard to believe that of me, right? I found it to be true. And when I learned, when I just pray, just what the Word of God says. And I pray things like, Lord, I thank you. That, Lord, you have need of me. But, Lord, I thank you that you have need of this person. What did I just do? I just untied whatever's binding them. Uh-huh. And so you can let the Holy Spirit do the work. The moment that you begin to pray that and believe that, they begin their journey like Jesus did. Uh-huh. See, a lot of us are getting all caught up in the outburst, and the outburst is just because they're in the process of their journey just like you are. I never get appalled by someone's behavior. I've seen some of the most spiritual people act crazy. I've been called to people's homes. I got called with a son chasing the father with a pitchfork, going to kill him. Christians, members of the church, not here, don't worry. Christians. That behavior never changed my opinion of them. Because behavior doesn't define a person. We all have the ability, Cynthia, to lose our mind and go crazy for a moment. Get around me a little more. You'll see. Hallelujah. Take a ride in my car. Hallelujah. But you got to have faith to ride with me. I mean, you got to have faith. I mean, what's the point I'm making? Is don't be distracted by the manifestations that the enemy often wants you to see to cause you to believe for less or to believe that things will never change. Don't make that mistake. Every one of us in this room will have a bad day. Everyone in this room is going to come across things and situations that are like flashbacks in our life, that are like trauma to our life. We're going to come across those things. And Jesus says we need to remind ourselves that the Master has need of us. Everyone in this room, every person online, every person that'll see this on TV has gifts and callings, the Bible says. And the Master has need of you. Who you are and your behavior, your mess ups when you lost it this week, you know, whatever come that flying out of your mouth, that never bothers me. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's not shocking to God either. Most preachers aren't bold enough to say that because they'll be afraid of the backlash. We act like God is appalled and shocked by our behavior. If that's true, then he's not God. Then he doesn't know as much as we say that he does. God sees my crazy outburst I'm going to do today at 3:05 p.m. I say that. You watch, I just probably prophesied it. He sees that before I do. But he still looked at me years ago and says, the Master has need of you. Tell me that isn't love. Tell me that isn't love. You know. And so every gift and every calling that you have and that you possess, the Master has need of. I want you to begin to see people, and I want you to begin to see the people that you love and the people of our church and the people of our community. We've got hundreds of names to get on that wall yet. And we'll wrap the whole sanctuary. I don't care. Hundreds of names. I want you to begin to see the people in your life. The Master has need of them. Stop looking at their outburst. Stop looking at what they could be, how they should be, how they should act. We all got that crazy uncle that acts crazy and embarrasses everybody. At least I do. Did. Made our family name. I mean, when I just say my last name in certain parts, well, that's all I'll say. We all have that. I want you to begin to say and prophesy over them, the Master has need of them. Hosanna. Save now. Deliver now. Heal now. Right? That's what we're saying when we celebrate today. You are speaking prophetically to your future. Victory and success is in your hand in those palms. Right? You're speaking to your future. The Master has need of them. I'm going to stop there because, well, I'm out of time. Hallelujah. The Master has need of them. You need to know that about you. You need to know that about the people that you love. You need to know that about the people you worship with, because sometimes church people irritate us. Hallelujah. We don't always get along, but the Master has need of them just like he does you. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand to your feet today as we prepare to close? Thank you, Lord. The Master has need of them. And today as we prepare to close, hallelujah, we are going to pray. Yes, I want to pray over you. I want to pray over our families on the wall. I want to pray that over everyone that we love. And I want to challenge you today that you would begin to pray that over every person that you know that is unsaved, over every person you know that needs to come to Jesus. And next week is Resurrection Sunday. Bring folks with you. I don't care if they've been in church or not. You can warn them that sometimes we can get a little, you know, crazy, but I want you to encourage them to come and let's pray and believe God. Let's speak out their names this week. Let's believe God that let's pray Hosanna over them, but let's also pray the Lord has need of them. Hallelujah. That we'll watch the manifest presence of God come into this place, draw them, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. He has need of them today. Let me pray for you today. And on our way out, we'll give our tithes and our offerings and all of that. I'll pray that it be blessed today. But let's pray that right now. Agree with me over every family member, over every person that you love. The Master has need of them. Father, I bless you, Lord. I thank you today. Great God that you are. We thank you. Lord, we just say Hosanna today, right now. Lord, we just give a praise of Hosanna in this place right now in the name of Jesus. I just say Hosanna over every name on the wall of prayer. God, I just give you praise of Hosanna, God, over this place today, God. Not praising you for what you've done, but God, praising you for what you're about to do. That, God, there are jobs that, Lord, we're about to walk into that, Lord, we weren't expecting. That, Lord, there are relationships that, God, you're about to bring into our life that we weren't expecting. God, there's financial abundance and miracles that's about to happen in our life. Hosanna, we just pray Hosanna. We pray Hosanna over our family. We praise and give you glory, Hosanna, over every need that we have in our life, God. I bless you and I thank you. God, I specifically pray over every unsaved person under the sound on this wall, God. I thank you, God, every name there, every family member that, Lord, is represented here that knows someone that's unsaved. God, I thank you. And Lord, we're just going to pray today your word. The Master has need of them. The Master has need of them. The goddess, we're praying right now that, Lord, you're beginning to untie them. That, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost is going and beginning to untie them from whatever is binding them. Hallelujah. Whatever was binding us. God, I thank you that right now that, God, you'll give us some powerful revelation, understanding that who we were is not who we used to be is not who I am. That, God, I'm different. I'm changed. Why? Because you untied me. Why? Because you had a need of me. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, we would no longer allow our past to define our future. But, Lord, my past is only a part of who I used to be. But who I am and who I used to be is no longer connected. Why? Because the Master untied me. And so, Father, I pray today that you would untie those in this room. I pray that, God, that you would untie those that we love. God, those that we've been praying for. God, those that we've been interceding for. Lord, untie them because the Master, I know that you have need of them in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that this week, as we begin Holy Week, I pray that, God, that you would do extraordinary things in our life, in our families, our homes. I pray that, God, you would bring teaching to us on Wednesday night, that, God, would help us to bring hope and power and revelation. God, I pray that even as we come to church Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I pray, oh God, that, Lord, we would come expecting you to do something explosive, extraordinary in our life. Lord, don't let it be just about cute Easter flowers and dinners and singing hymns like we're used to singing. But Father, let there be a true and absolute resurrection in our life. Let dead things come to life. In fact, I just prophesy over every person in this room today that every dead area of your life, every dead thing in your life, everything that has seems like it's been over, seems like it never, come on, believe with me, everything that never seems like it never would manifest, there are dreams and visions, there are things you thought would be a certain way. I just speak to every valley of dry bones right now, and I decree and I declare, let dead things come to life this Resurrection Sunday. Let everything that appears to be dead, closed up, shut off, and forgotten about, let it come to life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God will give you the glory and the praise for it right now. Father, as we leave this place and we log off and we go about our day, Father, as we leave this place and we give tithes and offerings, and God, I thank you for the people of this house. I thank you for people who don't even attend here. I thank you for people who live outside of this state and live in Florida and live out west, and people that live in Virginia and all over that they watch and they're ministered to by this ministry. I thank you for people who give in whatever capacity. God, let every giver be blessed today. God, bring multiplication into their life. Open doors that have been shut. Lord, begin to just allow them to walk in favor in every aspect of their life in the name of Jesus. God will give you praise and glory and honor for it. And we bless you today. And we honor you one more time. Hosanna in the highest. And we give you praise and glory. In your name we praise. Amen and amen. Would you all have a blessed week? Amen. Enjoy it. We'll see some of you back Wednesday night. God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah.